the size of audience you can sell to is one. That's it. That's all you need. If you have found a problem that is really for which solution is really needed by someone, they will pay you to get it.
You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. So today we have Vasco Duarte join with us, and he has grown businesses from 0 to 10 million or from 300K to 5 million. He's worked in the software industry since 1997 and an agile practitioner since 2004. He's one of the leaders and catalysts of agile methods and agile culture adoption at Avira, Nokia, and F-Secure. And he started his own online book, eCourse Business, in 2014. Vasco, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Brian.
Absolutely. So, Vasco, if I was a friend growing up with you, what would I say about you?
He was a weird person, liked computers since he was a child, eventually ended up doing a lot of computer work and then figured out that actually the biggest problems with product development in the software world are not really technology problems. They are really people problems. That's why I started the whole agile process development and adoption at all of the companies I've worked at and now with clients as a consultant. And ultimately realized that to help a lot more people than I did before, I have to start publishing stuff. So I published my own book, the No Estimates book, and then books for other authors. So we got a portfolio of authors in the company. So we've been publishing books and also online e-courses since 2014.
That's amazing, man. So, I mean, when you were growing up, you kind of knew all this was going to happen?
Absolutely. I knew everything like this was going to happen. No, not really. I knew I wanted to work with computers. So that I knew since I was like five. That was pretty clear for me. Ended up doing that, of course, and then realized that computers were the easy part. Working with people was the hard part.
I see. So for people who don't know anything about Agile, can you define that for them?
Yeah, so basically Agile, which is something that I'll be happy to talk about when it comes to writing and promoting, publishing, and creating a business on online courses, it's a method for developing products that tries to take advantage of the things that normally make projects fail. All right, so let me break that down. So most projects fail because estimates are wrong. Okay, so we got methods for that. Then the next thing is that projects fail because people don't collaborate very well. So Agile is all about collaboration. Then most commonly projects fail because they deliver something. The projects deliver a product that no one really wants, which is very relevant for our discussion today. So Agile is all about focusing on customer interaction and feedback. So kind of turning the product development process around on its head, where we do customer interaction before we develop any software, being that I'm from the software product business, and we get the customer to be part of developing the product rather than develop a product for 5 years, then launch it, and then crickets. You know, like this is, of course, relevant for our listeners as well, because that's one of the biggest risks we have when promoting or developing and promoting an online product is that, you know, we go on, maybe enter the flow, the zone, and do a lot of work. And, you know, 6 months later, we publish something and no one wants it, right? So that's also one of the biggest risks for us on online courses and for software products that I've worked with all my life. And Agile is also about figuring out how to get to the end, i.e. customer involvement, before you get to the beginning, i.e. write software.
So Vasco, when did you first discover Agile? You know, at what age was this? And was there like a book you picked up?
Yeah, so Agile was, you know, the way I discovered it was by struggling, you know, firsthand struggles
the best
with
way.
Product development, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember that the first few books I read weren't really about Agile. They were about product development in other industries, specifically about Toyota and cars. And I read a lot about how Toyota had a product development process that would take about half the time of any other car company in the world. Now, you can easily imagine that a company that can introduce double the products in the same time is much more likely to succeed in the market, which we all know. I mean, Toyota introduced the Lexus brand in the US and they went from zero sales to number one in that segment in 5 years, right? That's quite an achievement. Incredible. And they did that exactly by doing what we talk about in Agile as well, which is involving the customers in the beginning, not at the end.
So Vasco, what was your first online product? And did that follow the Agile process?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first online product was my first book. That's the No Estimates book, where we talk about how to deliver projects on time, because that's what I had been studying for many years. And at that time, we developed the product exactly like we talk about in, you know, our conversation today, which is first start by involving the users. Now, I had an idea of what I wanted to put out there, obviously, but I needed to figure out what was, you know, easy to understand and what was hard to grasp in the message that I had. So I started by doing blog posts, conference talks, and just posting on Twitter, which is where the No Estimates conversation is alive and kicking almost 10 years later. And the idea was to get the customer in, get the questions from my audience, the audience that I was developing through those activities, and then from that, create the content for the book. So that's the basic core aspect of Agile is you do small chunks, like one chapter or one conference talk, you present it to the audience, and then you see how they react. You have specific metrics to measure how they react, and that gives you insight about what part of the content you're creating is actually useful and is taken well by the audience, and what part of the content you should you either just, you know, redo because it's still important, or then just drop it because it's not critical and nobody's getting it.
Wow, that's pretty incredible, man. If I was a customer at that time and I bought that product from you, what would I think about it? Would I think like this is the perfect thing like I've been looking for all along?
Well, so I can't say that for all the customers, but we did 20,000 in sales in the first 7 days. So there was a lot of people interested in that product. Now, you can go to Amazon and see the book reviews and see what people say about it. And you can get that perspective, you know, firsthand without me telling you. But clearly, there was a demand. And that's one of the key messages I want to leave for your audience is that demand generation is our first task. Our first task is not to start by coming up with the perfect topic for an e-course or an online course, because that's backwards, right? You have a message, obviously, but the goal is for you to solve somebody's problem, to answer somebody's question. It's not for you to just put content out. Now, I understand why online course platforms want you to create a lot of content that goes nowhere because they benefit from having more courses. But we as individuals and content creators, we don't benefit from spending 6 months preparing an online course and then having zero customers.
Absolutely. Shoot. So for people who are getting started, like where should people be looking, like course creators? Where should they be looking for demand?
Well, that's a very good question. And as we dive into that question, I just want to emphasize that a lot of what I'm going to talk about in this approach that I've taken and still take to my products shows why everything that you are told on the web right now, and even by these content platforms on how to create an e-course, all of that is wrong. And I want to talk about what to do instead, obviously. But just so that we're clear, it's an important aspect that we are going to talk about, which is process, right? To get demand, the first thing you need to know is how to design your own development process so that demand is at the core. Very basically, when you're creating content online, your assets are your time, and you need to save on it, don't waste it. Your expertise, what you want to share, and that you don't save, you share as much as possible because that drives your audience. That's your third asset, your audience. And of course, when I talk about audience, I'm going to be very specific. It means you have their emails and you have their permission to contact them, right? Not people following you on Twitter. That's useful, but that's not audience. Not people following in on Instagram. That's useful, but that's not audience. The same for Facebook or LinkedIn or any other social media platform, right? Your audience is somebody for whom you have a valid email and you have their explicit permission to contact them over email. And finally, your community or your tribe, which you will develop based on the audience that you gather. So how do we develop the audience? How do we start developing the audience? Very simple. You just write stuff. And let me give you a concrete step-by-step process, right? This is the stuff that I use myself, which is that you write something like a tweet, for example. And the tweet will talk about a problem that you know your audience has. This is very important. You start always by addressing your audience, by showing them that you understand what problem they are facing. And of course, if you get no reaction, it's the wrong problem. Try another one. So that's the basic process. When you find a problem for which there is a lot of resonance in the audience, that's what happened to me with No Estimates. Once the hashtag No Estimates came out on Twitter, you should have seen the storm. It was huge. Okay, that's the first insight that there's an audience there. Now you still need to develop the message, but that's the basic thing, right? You talk about the problems, and once a problem resonates, you know you have a niche, an audience that you can start writing for. And then we do a very simple thing. You test your idea. So you create, for example, a downloadable PDF, which title is the definition of the problem and a promise of a solution. That's what it is. It's nothing more than that. Then you write that PDF, which is basically just like a long blog post, and you put it online. Then you start getting people's email and their permission to contact them. That's how you start developing the audience, is by actually helping people concretely, by giving them solutions, step-by-step solutions to the problems that they've already told you they have. Not the ones you think they have, but the ones they told you they have. So that's how you develop the audience. And if you do this right, if you find a problem that really has a lot of resonance in that audience, you found a niche, and you now have people who are not just your audience. They actually want to follow you because they know you can deliver value to them, right? That's the key thing. We want to bring value to our audience. That's stuff I learned, of course, from developing products for more than 20 years. And that's what drives, in the end, ultimately, when you really have a product to sell, that's what will drive sales, is the ability to solve a problem for someone who already knows they have that problem.
Understood. How long does this process take to build the audience? And how do you know when you had enough of an audience size to start selling?
All right, so that's a great question. What's the size of audience you can sell to? So the size of audience you can sell to is one. That's it. That's all you need. If you have found a problem that is really, which solution is really needed by someone, they will pay you to get it. Now, they might pay you $1 to download a PDF, or they might pay you $1,000 for a 5 coaching session agreement. Right? You have 5 hours of work together, right? The one-on-one meeting. So that how we sell our knowledge, how we sell our expertise is our choice. We need to choose that, right? If we want to do an online course and the course is, let's say, $197, then of course you need to know how much of that makes it worth for me to develop the course, right? Is it 10 sales? Is it 100 sales? Is it 1,000 sales? I don't know. That's up to you. You need to define that. But an audience that is worth creating products for is an audience of one. No, the product you create depends on what your goals are with your business.
Gotcha. So after this process, is that it? Like, then you go straight to scaling?
That's a very good question. So the scaling part is something that we grow to. We don't, you know, there's no step change from developing your product idea to going to scaling. You evolve towards that. So here's the process I use. First, you publish your idea, right? You make a transformation promise to your audience, basically what's in it for them. then you test it, right? You can start by doing the test very simply by just tweeting or creating an Instagram post, and then all the way up to creating a 5-page PDF download or like a 10-minute free online course, whatever that is. But you test your idea by checking how many people take action to get your content. And the action they take, because that's what you need, is to give you an email and the permission to contact them. Now, obviously, it's not that simple. You're not going to succeed. Most of our ideas fail. You're not going to succeed with every idea you have. And that's a good thing, because otherwise you would be facing incredibly large amounts of competition. Because most ideas fail, that means you have time and you have space to find your niche. So when an idea fails, don't stick with it. Discard it. Now, the idea may fail for many reasons. It may fail because, you know, the problem you're trying to solve just isn't that resonating with the audience, or it may fail because the form in which you are delivering the solution doesn't work, and so on. But you need to discard ideas that don't work. Then you test some more. So you do more publishing, you do more action, call to action based on content that you've created, and you gather more audience. Now, when you go live, quote unquote, with your product is up to you, because you need to know what's an audience size I can publish to, right? A very basic rule of thumb is that if you've done good audience development, i.e. very focused niche with concrete actionable tips for them to benefit from, then you can count on something like, you know, 5 to 6, 7% conversion. So count on those numbers and then look at the size of the audience. Now, if you haven't done that work so well, if your product is too broad, then of course there's not going to be a lot of people that want to buy your product, but there will be some, and then you can count on a conversion rate of 1 to 2%. So my own experience is that for the audience that is prime, that is, you know, really the right niche, you can count on 6 to 7% conversion rate. And then for a broader audience that knows you, trusts you, but doesn't really need a solution for that problem you're trying to sell, you can count on 1 to 2% conversion rate.
Gotcha. Those are, you really know your numbers there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this since 2014. And one of the things I realized when I was a product developer, I've been a product manager, project manager, working in software-based products. One of the things I realized is that we really need to know our numbers if we want to succeed at our product business, right? So that's something I've put a lot of effort to. And I want to share that with your audience, because that's an important step in designing the process that we use to create our content. Right. So don't go and start committing your time to writing a course if you don't have an audience. Like, there's no point in writing an online course if your audience is zero. Write a tweet. And if your audience goes to one, then write a blog post. Then if your audience goes to 10, then you write a downloadable PDF. Then if your audience goes to 100, maybe you write 2 online PDFs. If your audience goes to 1,000, maybe you do a free email course, and then 10,000, maybe you create an online course. So you need to think about that, because all we work with is conversion rates, right? If your audience is zero, even with 100% conversion rate, you get zero, right? If your audience is one, 100% conversion rate is one. Now, that could still be very good business, right? If you're selling one-on-one coaching, as an example. Absolutely. So most course step instructions, you know, create how to create an e-course. If you go to Google and Google how to create an e-course, they'll tell you first step, commit to writing an e-course. That's just brain dead. Most of the courses will fail. So you want to know what fails before you've committed 6 months to writing a course. That's not step one. That's like step 5 or something.
Right. So bring it back, before you write that tweet with the problems and see if there's engagement, how do you know if it's a good problem to ask in the first place, to sort of put out there?
That's a great question. So first thing is, we are experts in, all of us are experts in something, right? Cutting grass, painting houses, or creating online products, we're all experts in something, right? So we need to find the audience that wants a solution in that something we're the expert for. So when we publish those tweets, we are also actually doing what I call audience prospecting, right? We have a lot of people around us in social media and so on, blog posts, whatever. And then we're trying to pinpoint who are those people that will benefit from the expertise we have. So we're searching for an audience, right? So when we tweet, the first tweet, the really first tweet, the one you've never done it before, is, can I find people that are interested in what I have to share in terms of expertise? So, you know, we would do things like hashtag research to know where people are hanging out that need the solution we have and so on. And you would post in that hashtag. That's just a very simple tip on how to start searching for your audience. If, on the other hand, you already have a lot of followers and they already know what you're an expert in, right? If they follow you, they most likely trust you. You can start talking about problems right away and see which ones resonate.
Gotcha. That is all really good stuff, Vasco. It's awesome. Is there one book that is like the book for Agile that made the biggest impact in the Agile community?
So definitely there's one book that made a very big impact for me personally. That was Agile Software Development by Alistair Coburn. Now, I know that book will not resonate with everyone that is in this space, but it did with me. And it did with me specifically because it was written for project managers. My background is in project manager. I'm a very structured person. I like my stepwise processes, and that book kind of helped me open my eyes to a different perspective on product development and software development with Agile. So I would definitely say that one was the one that touched me.
That's awesome, man. And is there any mentors, maybe some workshops also, or conferences that you would recommend as well?
When it comes to Agile, I would recommend podcasts first. So go for a podcast, search for Scrum Podcast or Agile Podcast or Kanban Podcast, and start listening to podcasts. I mean, we are on a podcast and there's a lot of knowledge out there that you can go and search for. And then when you have specific questions, then the easiest thing to do is to just go on Google, ask for that, you know, ask that question, and then see what gets mostly pointed to. And once you want to dive even deeper into that, then I would follow some people on Twitter and that are posting regularly about these topics, because they have a lot of insights to share. And that's how I learned a lot of the stuff I share, right? I mean, I followed a lot of product developers. I read a lot of books, but I also listened to a lot of podcasts, and that's how I learned.
Gotcha. Awesome, man. So Vasco, if I'm an employee in your business right now and I asked you, what's your vision for the next 5 to 10 years, what would you say?
So my business is growing audiences. That's what we do, right? So the first step that we did, it was like 2015, was to go from what was at that time a fledgling podcast, the Scrum Master Toolbox podcast, that had something like 100 to 200 downloads a day. And we wanted to 10x that. So that was 2016, I believe, that we set that goal, and now we've 10x'd it. So we are now at 2,000 wow. unique listeners per day, something like 6 to 7 downloads per day. We're just about to cross 4 million downloads, cumulative downloads. So we've developed what is now the most popular Scrum and Agile podcast in the world. So now the next vision is, okay, so now we have the audience. How do we help our audience so that they help us continue this work? So obviously we are working on revenues. We've created an online course. It's called Coach Your PO or Coach Your Product Owner, because many Scrum Masters struggle with their relationship with product owners. So that course is for them, for Scrum Masters who want to help their product owners. We have 5 books that we sell. For Scrum Masters, Agile coaches, and Agile practitioners in general. And we are developing more courses, online events. We have our own community website and subscription site with a Slack and a private Slack. And all of our content is available to the community members. And that's what we are developing right now. So we've 10x the audience. And now we want to get to a point where we 10x the revenues. Now, one thing, one caveat, a very important caveat here is that we can only make money if we provide value to our audience. So the way we measure, are we progressing towards 10xing our revenues, is not what's the revenue number. First of all, that's too late. It's already done when you get it. And then second of all, is the wrong number, because the 10x revenue is just a vision. What we really want to do is to make sure that we are the premier place to go for agilists all over the world when they go for, when they want to know something in the field of Scrum or Agile. So how do I do X? They come to us. That's the basic idea. If you want to know anything about Scrum or Agile, you come to us. And I'll just give you an example of what that means. Right now, we have the most popular podcast in the world when it comes to Scrum and Agile, but that's just my own pride talking. We also have more than 270 hours of audio content, which is updated every single day. We just published four live QAs, four one-hour-long live QAs on the podcast for teams that are just now going remote because of COVID-19. So we're working our behinds off to get the best content out there. So, of course, the vision is that people know us and they always come to us first when they have a question. And you can do this now. You could just go to scrummastertoolbox.org. If you have a question about Agile, you write that question or the keywords in the search box, and up come episodes that have real stories from real people that have struggled with the same problem as you did.
If you didn't have time to take notes for this episode, get your full text summary, notes, and links along with all of the top tips from this episode at unstoppablebusiness.com/podcast.